From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairns with you once again to Let the Bible Speak. Welcome to today's program. Today we'll be looking at the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. As I have said before, some people, such as Seventh-day Baptists, Seventh-day Adventists, Messianic Jews, deny that it has its fulfillment in the Lord's Day. Even many otherwise Orthodox evangelicals relegate it to the level of Jewish ceremonial law that has been abrogated by the coming of Christ. In these studies, my argument from Scripture is that the Lord's Day is the Christian Sabbath, and that it is still God's command that we sanctify it. I further argue that the Christian Sabbath is a provision of divine love, a day whose observance is a blessing to those who keep it. So, stay tuned for today's broadcast. Before we turn to God's Word, let me encourage you to be in touch with us. Remember that we have some ongoing resources that we offer freely to our listeners, and I'd like to make special mention of a couple of them. First, we have our monthly Let the Bible Speak devotional tape or CD, with brief devotional and doctrinal studies, testimonies, and some good music. Second, the April-June issue of our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is one that you won't want to miss. It deals with some of the great moral issues that confront the church today: abortion, euthanasia, homosexuality, and there is also a section on the Lord's Day. It has a vibrant missionary page, a feature article on the life and ministry of a young Christian physician, and other things that you'll be interested in. You may have either of these resources by writing or calling us at Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds the guilt of our sin.
Grace, grace, God's grace.
Utah's polygamists want to join the never-ending line of those who claim the right to define marriage as they wish. Climbing onto the bandwagon of so-called gay and lesbian rights, the polygamists believe that their time has come. By caving in to sodomite demands, in a number of jurisdictions, courts have decreed it lawful to allow homosexuals to adopt children. Thus, a child may have two mommies or two daddies. Now polygamists are arguing that it's unfair and illogical to allow this, and yet to say that a child may not have two mommies and one daddy. Welcome to the world of relativism. I must say that if you accept the premise of the polygamous argument, you would be hard put to deny their conclusion. If it is lawful and morally acceptable to abandon the traditional view of marriage and of family to allow for homosexual unions, then by what stretch of logic can it be argued that polygamy is, per se, illegal or morally wrong? Of course, I do not accept the polygamous premise, nor do I agree that the crazy action of a court in creating one moral quagmire is either a logical or moral basis for creating another. The court may be consistent in doing so, but consistency in creating new kinds of societal evil is nothing to be admired. All this shows that once a society abandons the authority of God's word and arrogates to itself the place of decreeing what is morally right on no other basis than the whim of the people, or usually of their leaders who are cravenly caving in to rich or influential pressure groups, once this step has been taken, there's no stopping the downward gallop of that society to self-destruction. Make no mistake about it. America's current direction is downward. The public acceptance of pornography, sodomy, perversion, and promiscuity all tell of a society going in the wrong direction. The devaluation of marriage, rampant divorce rates, sodomite unions blessed by church and state, if the polygamists of Utah have any say in the matter, are all somber notes tolling the death of a great society. The only answer is a return to the Bible, to God's law and gospel, not alone to his law, but to his gospel too. They must go together. This is the truth that will make men genuinely free. This is the authority that can direct both men and nations into paths of righteousness and liberty. Nothing else can. The press reports the polygamous demands as coming from a Christian group. They do not. They come from a Mormon group. And Mormonism is not even a distant relation of Christianity, but a bitter opponent of it. Christians know that the New Testament demands monogamous marriage as the covenant bond that should bind a man and a woman together to serve God, their children, and their society. This bond has been seriously compromised by the wicked folly of judiciaries and legislatures. We must strive to undo this folly, not make it the logical ground to create another moral blot on the character of the nation.
With mercy and shall bring.
Today we conclude our study of the fourth commandment and show from apostolic example that its sanctity now lies in observing the Lord's Day, an observance that is blessed to all who accept it.
This commandment forbids work on the Sabbath day, and it forbids the willful neglect of Sabbath duties. That's very clear from our text. Isaiah, in one of the most important texts in the Bible on the Sabbath, in chapter 58, verse 13, says, "Turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. Call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, and honorable." It tells you to honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Actually, it says, nor speaking a word. Now, obviously, it can't just mean you stop speaking on the Sabbath day, for there's no biblical rule or example to that end. And as I thought of it, how did God create? God spoke. Each day He created by His Word. And when He came to the Sabbath day, His creative Word did not go forth. He had finished. He wasn't speaking His Word creatively. Creation was His business. He rested from it the Sabbath day. And that's what this is telling us. The other days of the week, your word, your purpose, your business, your thing, that's what's engaging your mind. But not on the Sabbath day. Christians should not treat the Sabbath day as just another day to work, and just another day for their own pleasure or their own recreation or their own pursuits. And yet withal, the Lord allows works of necessity and mercy and piety. This is not a hard and cruel imposition surrounded by endless hair splitting. The Lord Jesus Christ did work on the Sabbath day. He allowed His disciples to pluck corn on the Sabbath day to feed and to satisfy their hunger. He said, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." Now when He says the Sabbath was made for man, He says it's made for His good. Man was not made for the Sabbath. In other words, man is not to be the slave of endless do's and don'ts and regulations that men have made up. He says, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath." So the question is, what does the Lord allow? He allows works of necessity. Luke 14:5, "Which of you shall have an ox or an ass fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out in the Sabbath day?" When His disciples plucked corn, Matthew 12:7, Jesus said they were guiltless. Why? Because it was necessary. There are some works that are necessary on the Sabbath. Now that may change from generation to generation. And this is where Christians need to have their consciences instructed by the Word of God. We live in a society where what wasn't necessary 50 years ago, in fact, maybe what wasn't even known 50 years ago, has become necessary. The Lord Jesus says works of necessity do not infringe the Sabbath. Works of mercy, Mark 3 verse 4, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, to save life?" Yes, it is. If you have a heart attack on the Sabbath day, you don't want the heart specialist to say, "No, I can't do it, I'll have to wait till tomorrow." It's a work of mercy. And works of piety. Matthew 12:5, "Have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?" So works of necessity, works of mercy, works of piety. These are the things that the Lord allows. Now let's bring our lives to that standard.
Men and women, I want you to understand this is what God is saying in His law for His people. Let us not simply pull down the standard of the Word of God. Let's not cast it aside and play havoc with the divine requirement. Let us not turn the allowable of works of necessity and mercy and piety into an excuse for the sinful. Many complain that Sabbath observance is so harsh. It's not Sabbath observance that's harsh. It's not the law of God that's harsh. It's not the example of Christ that's harsh. It's the heart that's hardened against God that's harsh. Because really it's a spirit of rebellion that detests the Sabbath day. Why do some people neglect the Sabbath and reject it? For the same reason as the people did in Nehemiah chapter 13, 15 through 22. Greed. Greed. There are Christians who don't have to work the Lord's Day, but they do so because of greed. And God will curse their greed. And they'll not be one cent the better off. And even if they are, they'll be spiritually destitute. Maybe more to the point, there are some people who reject the Sabbath day because of pleasure. I've already read from Isaiah 58 and verse 13. And the word pleasure there is not speaking particularly of recreation, but it is speaking of people in their willful rejection of God's law and their willful rebellion, saying, I'm going to do in this day what pleases me. Be it business or pleasure, what pleases me. And that's why they reject the Lord's day. How many Christians spend the Lord's day in front of a goggle box watching a ball game? Many Christians live their lives in such a way that the only holy ground they know on the Lord's day is the golf course. Rejecting the command of God either through greed or through love of pleasure. Then some people compromise it by using just a brief part to satisfy their conscience. I'll go to church and then I'll watch the ball game. Or I'll go to church, and here's a very specious one, and it's going to be a day of rest. We're not going to cook in our house today. We're not going to switch the light or the heat on under the meat. We're not going to do that. We're not going to prepare it on Saturday and eat on the Lord's Day or anything like that. We're just going to go out and we're going to eat in the restaurant. Hold a second. Did God not enact that your servants should rest just as much as you? Did He not? This is compromising the Lord's day. Now, there are times of necessity. I am not talking about the exceptional. I'm talking about the normal. And when Christians can take the law of God on the fourth commandment, and they can treat it so cavalierly, how on earth can they be surprised when the ungodly treat the rest of the law of God with disdain? If you disdain the fourth commandment, can you be surprised that the ungodly disdain the rest? I'm going to tell you a story. This happened just a few months ago. We were going with some folk, I forget who actually, in town. We were going into the Outback Steakhouse. Well, actually we were waiting. You always have to wait there. See, the music's so good, people queue up or line up to get in. It gives you an ulcer just to put up with it. But anyway, standing outside, there was a few people
There were a few people around about. I wasn't listening because they were speaking. I wasn't eavesdropping. They were listening or speaking very loudly. This rather loud young woman made it clear she was a waitress in a restaurant. Was she bitter? Some Christian had given her a tip, and with the tip had given her a tract with an invitation to church. And she said, "Oh yes, these Christians will come and they'll ask me to church, but I have to work to feed them when they come out of church." I said to myself, I wish the hypocrite who gave her the tract could be here to hear her now. Is it not true? What defense could that Christian make? I don't know of any. Some hate the Sabbath, some despise it, some compromise it, and that's a great pity, because the Sabbath is blessed in its observation. God promises, Isaiah 56:2 and 58:13 and 14, He promises to bless the man that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it. He means this to be a festival to us. It's not a day of drudgery. It's a time to refresh our bodies, to feed our souls. I thought of it this way. The Sabbath day is a time to spend at our house and at His house. And it expresses three very precious things for a believer. It expresses our likeness to God. As He rested, so we rest. Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God. It expresses our liberty in Christ. Deuteronomy 5:15, the Lord brought you out and redeemed you. Therefore, keep the Sabbath day. It expresses our love for Christ. Isaiah 58:13 equates calling the Sabbath a delight with honoring the Lord. Think of those three things. Are there any things more precious to a Christian? Likeness to Christ, liberty in Christ, love for Christ, and they are all expressed by an honest keeping of the Christian Sabbath. And one final thing, and my time is gone. It will be gone. And that is, let's look over the ground. If you've counted, I've given you six great truths, and I'm going to finish with a very brief seventh. The Sabbath is divine in its institution. The Sabbath is moral in its constitution. The Sabbath is gracious in its purpose. The Sabbath is permanent in its duration. The Sabbath is simple in its precept. The Sabbath is blessed in its observance. And finally, the Sabbath is evangelical. I'm tempted to say Christ-filled in its message. It points us constantly to Christ. Hebrews 4:9, there remains a keeping of Sabbath because Christ is entered into His rest. It's pointing you to Christ. The Sabbath constantly challenges us to look beyond the things of this world to the things of eternity. The things of this world are insistent. Work 7 days a week. Get into the rat race of life. This world is all demanding. It's all consuming. The Sabbath day says, stand back, man. Catch your breath, man. Get your eyes not on the things of time, but on the things of eternity. But I'm going to lose money. Well, you'd be better to lose money than fellowship with God. For the Sabbath calls for faith and dependence on the Lord. It builds individuals. It builds families. It builds churches in the faith of the gospel. And it teaches them we must obey God rather than man. This is the Christian Sabbath. We should call it a delight. We should guard it as something more precious than gold.
And most of all, we should ensure that we use this Sabbath day to hear the Word of God, to receive the Gospel, and so to be ready to enter in to our Savior's eternal rest. Remember, the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.